Good morning. Well, we're excited to have our project finished, although it's not finished. It's you may have noticed we don't have hymnal racks yet. They'll be here Monday of some... I'm still praying for the return of our original altar table. And our doors, oh my gosh, the back-ordered part finally came in this last week. It doesn't work. So that's okay. Almost finished, not quite finished. Maybe there's a sermon in there, right? We're not gonna wait for perfection to move forward in faith and praise. Amen? Amen. Well, the second church I was appointed to serve was the United Methodist Church in El Dorado, Texas, out on what they called the Plateau, about 55 miles south of San Angelo, Permian Basin, right on the edge of the Permian Basin. Now, there's no other way to say it, but El Dorado was and is a dusty, ugly town. And I don't think you would find anybody that lives there would disagree. The people were beautiful spirits, okay? But, and we had a lot of fun there, and it was a great, it actually was a really good place to raise our kids when they were in elementary. They had a very good school. But the town itself, dusty, ugly, and worn hard by a hard climate. To this day, anytime I run into someone from El Dorado, even if we've never met and we didn't live there at the same time, there's like this instant kinship and bond and acceptance of one another. And I've been thinking about that. We had a lot of fun. It was a hoot out there, okay? But I think maybe the bond is that we all suffered together. We suffered from dust storms, literally a mud storm, hailstorms, ice storms, and then no storms, or in other words, drought, for extended periods of time. I had skunks living in the front yard. I had bats living in the attic. But the congregation was great, and I loved them, and they loved me, for which I'll always be grateful. And they taught me a lot about perseverance and strength in the midst of a life of faith. I think the thing that impressed me the most was that they built a nice, it was modest but substantial brick sanctuary in about 1935 in the midst of the Great Depression. Back when everything had suddenly changed in the world, back when times were suddenly hard, back when there was nothing certain about the future, they took a leap of faith, a trust in the provision of God. And I always thought, I always had confidence in them. I always thought if they can do that, they can do anything they set their minds to. This particular congregation has gone through a major building repair and renovation during the midst of a worldwide pandemic, in the midst of shutdowns, in the midst of isolation, fear and anxiety, inflation, shortages, and great unexpected changes. A completely uncertain future, all without borrowing money to do it. I think that's the 21st century equivalent to building a sanctuary during the Great Depression. In the beginning of this process, we considered doing a capital campaign, and I think that was in 2021, and we had a guy come out from Texas Methodist Foundation. Texas Methodist Foundation helps countless churches with building projects and capital campaigns, and in the midst of it, we asked him how available he was, and he said, well, nobody else is really trying to build anything right now, so I'm very available. But we thought maybe we could do it without a capital funds drive, maybe without it putting a financial burden on you. So it wasn't easy, of course. With 2020 hindsight, there are things we could have done differently. There's definitely things I could have or would have done differently if I knew then what I know now. And then, of course, there were plenty of things that we couldn't change no matter what. Many frustrations and challenges, but church, you took a leap of faith, and I'm proud of you. And I think maybe with God's help and by God's will and by God's Holy Spirit, maybe we can do anything that God asks us to do. This sanctuary and this part of the facility is over 40 years old, creeping up on a half a century. And like any half century building, facility, or home, it needed repairs and renovations. We started talking about this back, I think, about 2018. In 2020, during the pandemic, Rick Schaefer led us through many outside necessary repairs. There were windows to be replaced. There was things that needed painting. There were places that were rotting that wasn't obvious, but absolutely had to be repaired. And he figured out a way to do it below market price. Paul Hayes has led us through the interior remodeling. There's been some weeks when I think he's been here more often than I've been here. And I think for both of them, we should probably take up a love offering and send them and their spouses to Bermuda for a month, okay? They worked hard. But indeed, everyone who served on the trustees the last 4 or 5 years has been great. You might have noticed that my sermon title is Listening to Classic Rock. And as I wrote this, I realized I was beginning to mix metaphors a little bit. But anyhow, you know what classic rock is, don't you? Okay, classic rock is that music that you loved. It was edgy, it was dangerous, it was crazy and mind-blowing, and your parents hated it, and now it's old. Right? It's what our kids roll their eyes about when it comes on, right? I listened mostly to what is now classic country. At the time, we called it outlaw music, and it was Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and all these guys that were doing innovative things, and Nashville hated them, but now it's classic. With automobiles, technically anything over 25 years old is considered a classic, which means that the first new car I ever owned is now a classic. However, the term is not limited to age. If you look up classic in a dictionary, it can mean that which stands the test of time, that which is enduring, that which is authentic. So, 68 Corvette, classic? Yes. 68 Ford Pinto? Technically? Huh? Polyester leisure suits, classic? Or just embarrassing. Just embarrassing, yeah. So there's a subjective part to that term, right? What is classic? What is enduring? What stands the test of time? What continues to be authentic? Now, Jesus uses an easy-to-understand metaphor of building on solid rock instead of sinking sand. I grew up in a pier and beam house on the Blackland Prairie in Central Texas, and I can't tell you how many times my dad and I would crawl under that house dragging jacks, my dad yelling to my mom through the floorboard and trying to jack up a corner or a door, because that Blackland Prairie, it's kind of like this very slow ocean swells, and nothing stays the same for very long. When we were in Lampasas, however, we owned a house that was literally built on solid rock. There was essentially no topsoil, maybe a half an inch of what was basically caliche. And it was frustrating because we liked a garden. And if you wanted a garden, you had to have a raised garden. You had to bring in topsoil from somewhere else. But that house never moved even a quarter of an inch. Built on solid rock. That which is authentic, enduring, reliable, and stands the test of time. So what is the solid rock, metaphorically speaking? Not this building, but this congregation and the mystical living church of the ages. Our past, our present, and our future built on. In an ever-changing world, A world in which everything seems to be in constant flux and change. A world in which our institutions keep changing, our society keeps changing, our world keeps changing, even our weather keeps changing. What can we still stand on? In a world where everything seems to be built on sinking sand, on what solid rock can we possibly stand on? Jesus Christ is Lord. That hasn't changed. Amen? The cross of mercy and forgiveness, that hasn't changed. The scriptures, the empty tomb, the resurrection, the Easter promise, Jesus' defeat of death itself, that hasn't changed at all. Our baptism, the sacraments, the Holy Spirit bringing fresh life into that which seems to be dying. God is still God. God is still in charge. In an ever-changing world, that which is the most important to us hasn't changed at all. A solid rock that endures. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. The Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is still our fortress. Amen and amen. But notice that in this scripture, Jesus really describes what the rock is. He says that the wise man who builds on solid rock is the one who, quote, hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, unquote. In other words, doesn't just hear, doesn't just listen, doesn't just read about, doesn't just know about, but obeys the words of Jesus. And specifically, what are these words of mine? Well, this is the conclusion to the three chapters in Matthew of what we now call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus speaks many words, such words, if I may paraphrase. Eliminate anger from your life. Forgive everyone. Reconcile with your adversary. Eliminate destructive lust. Hunger for doing the right thing. Be merciful. Be a peacemaker. Do the right thing even if you get persecuted for it. Be faithful in your marriage. Always tell the truth. Be generous. Eliminate hate and revenge. Love your enemies even. Give to the needy. Don't be a religious hypocrite. Be humble in how you practice your religion. Pray, fast, avoid materialism. Don't worry about money, clothing, food, the future. Trust in God's provision. Don't judge others. Put God first in everything. Produce good fruit. And a warning from Jesus. Remember that just because you're busy doing religious things doesn't necessarily mean you're doing His will. These words, these behaviors, if you will, this way of life to be lived, even when it's the hardest thing you might ever do, this is the classic solid rock on which the church is built. As easy as that. So, we still don't have the pew racks, but I already have people asking me what project we're going to do next. And I've actually been thinking about that. I actually thought about the old gospel bluegrass song, I'm working on a building. You heard that? I'm working on a building for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. I've watched folks in this congregation who've been role models in this song, working on a building. The building being their own soul and the way they live their lives, their faithfulness. We did a funeral for Ruthie Cott the other day. Over 90 years old, and we packed the house. She packed the house. And what an inspiration she was. She went through horrible tragedy. But she never stopped living life as fully as she could and even finding joy in so many things. working on a building, a Holy Ghost building for my Lord. I thought about Tom Dance, who passed away a few years ago. Tom literally built buildings. He was an architect. He designed our children's wing. And people remember that about him, but mostly what people remember was how he taught the gospel in Sunday school and the kind of person he was, the kind of person he was. He was working on a building, a Holy Ghost building, for my Lord. Maybe our next building project just needs to be us. I've been thinking about that. We've been having staff meetings. What are we going to do next? What are we going to do? Maybe we need to think about just who we need to be. Of course, we're Methodists. I've decided years ago Methodists are the ADD wing of Protestantism. We got to do things. We got to do things. We got to do things. We got to get organized. Maybe we could do the radical slowing down. The radical slowing down of worship, prayer, scripture, friendship, lives of grace, mercy, love, and peace. All the things that we long for, all the things that we know would indeed create in us a solid foundation, which no storm can destroy. And when we're gone, they won't talk about who we are. They won't talk about what we did as much as who we are. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Father God. Come and give us your courage, your peace, the desire, the love to put into practice the words of yours. Amen.